Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
It's time for another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley. As we come into the final week of these Franchise Focus Podcasts, today we will talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Nothing real big in terms of their additions. I did lose a couple of players that played some key roles for them last season. We'll talk about the fantasy implications of that and what it means for their draft. What could be some team needs for the Atlanta Falcons heading into the 2015 NFL Draft, which is just over a week away. And that's going to lead us up to the end of the podcast this week. We'll finish up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a week ahead of the NFL Draft. So we'll be able to catch up on everything before the Buccaneers officially go on the clock. We appreciate you being with us once again. And got to tell you that FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy sports. It's more fun than ever. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. Play today, win tonight. No season-long commitment and no upfront fees. I know for me, Joe, I'm a Mets fan. Mets just lost Travis d'Arnaud for a little while, and he was rolling. And if you had him on your season-long team, now you don't have a good hitting catcher, and those are hard to come by. So in FanDuel, you can go find somebody else.
Yeah, go put Buster Posey in your lineup tonight. Go put Wilson Ramos in your lineup later this week. Somebody who can drive in a couple runs at that position. Look, season-long fantasy baseball is an absolute grind, and sometimes it's hard to get a return on investment. If you put a lot of money into your lineup and you lost a couple guys to injury, you could be screwed before the season even really gets going. Not an issue on FanDuel.
Joe Watson from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So guys, as we get into the Falcons here, I want to remind everybody they can send their questions in for a future podcast, for reaction to these podcasts. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. We actually had somebody respond after we answered their question on the Chargers the other day. I wanted to know, we still thought of Ladarius Green after Antonio Gates said he won a lesser role. So you could certainly listen up to these, see what we say, maybe respond to your question, and then maybe you got more to say. So use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley. So let's get into the Falcons here, guys. And I guess you kind of say they're kind of a boring team. I think we know what we're getting with the Falcons. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Kind of easy to handicap them for fantasy. You have a really good quarterback in Matt Ryan, number 7 last year in fantasy points per game. You have a big-time wide receiver in Julio Jones, who was the number 5 wide receiver last year at 20 fantasy points per game. Roddy White, not the same player he was, but still a top 20 wide receiver last year, 15.3 fantasy points per game. But the backfield is a big question mark for this team. And let's start there, because I think we know what we have in the receiving corps. We'll get back into that in a little bit. But you talk about the running game here. Steven Jackson, just it didn't work out these 2 years that he was with the team, and they got rid of him. They cut him loose. Quiz Rogers was more of a thorn in our sides, and it was just kind of there. And we'll talk about why he was kind of in the mix, but didn't really give us much for fantasy. Anton Smith, and by the way, Quiz Rogers now a Chicago Bear. Anton Smith back with the team, but very weird to kind of figure out when he was going to get anything done, hitting the big home run plays, but that was really it. There was no real rhyme or reason to why that was happening. And then a guy we did like in Devontae Freeman never really got his chance last season. And now you have a new coaching staff coming in here. You got Dan Quinn coming in. He brings in Kyle Shanahan. It's a new look kind of team here, and they needed this. Now, we tend to think that Thomas Dimitroff should be on his way out or on thin ice.
He already is. I mean, they essentially replaced him with Scott Pioli. They brought in Pioli and
come on, they're buddies.
Dimitroff, They can say it all they want. Not exactly the Howie Roseman situation in Philadelphia, but Dimitroff was essentially demoted by keeping him in the building.
There was a cringe-inducing video that they put out last year before the 2014 draft, I think. It was those guys just being buddy-buddy. I'm going, Pioli wants this job. He wants this job down the road. And if you remember, when they announced the firing of Mike Smith, all the questions at the press conference, or a lot of them, were with Dimitroff sitting right next to Arthur Blank going, hey, why is he still here? Why is he still here?
Their roster's a mess. Yeah. It still sucks. The problem is you have great building blocks. You have Matt Ryan. You have Julio Jones. They also have Jake Matthews, who really struggled as a rookie last year, but that tends to happen. I'm still a Jake Matthews believer. He got forced into playing left tackle when Baker went out in the preseason. They have building blocks on offense. Obviously, Matt Ryan. If Matt Ryan is the only thing you have on offense, that's still a great building block. And they're really good in the secondary. That is one area where Dimitroff hit in the draft in the secondary. Other than that, this is a really bad roster.
Joe's saying like the roster sucks here, Tom. And you say that with, well, they have Matt Ryan. It seems to kill to have Matt Ryan.
But
it says
a lot of
something.
Coaches passed over that job.
Right.
Whenever they had a chance to play with, you know, coach Matt Ryan.
It
so
should say
that
something.
That should tell you how thin they are, you know, everywhere else.
That this team has a quarterback like a Matt Ryan, and they have a Julio Jones, and they're not that good.
Yeah, most coaches would usually kill for to have a job like that with Matt Ryan. But no coaches were knocking down.
Like a genius.
Nobody was knocking down the door this offseason.
I thought this was a spot for Rex.
So
I really did.
And that should tell you. They wanted him.
I really thought Rex was going to look at this team and say, I'm going to be able to come in here and I'll make the defense at least respectable in the first year. It's not going to be an all-world defense like you'll probably have in Buffalo, but I thought it was going to be a defense that he can make respectable. I thought Rex was going to trust his coaching ability here and say, in Matt Ryan, I've got something I've never had.
He has offensive weapons, top guys. I mean, top of the line guys here in Ryan and Roddy White, and Julio Jones, I should say more so, that he's never had close to before. Something he doesn't have to worry about. They can go get a running back and they'll go from there. But his job would have been to coach up this defense. That's not happening. Now, Dan Quinn, also a defensive-minded coach, comes in here now to kind of bring the things that he had in Seattle, and hopefully it will work out. You know, Gus Bradley came from Seattle. We haven't seen that necessarily translate yet in Jacksonville.
But they've been making progress.
Well, absolutely.
The Jacksonville roster, when Gus Bradley took that team over, was
atrocious.
In worse shape.
Absolutely.
And now
absolutely.
It's arguably the strongest one in that division, if you take away Andrew Luck from
the
Colts. For
the future,
yeah.
Possibly, yes.
I mean, and still a lot of questions about portals, but that's something we'll get to on the Jaguar podcast.
In terms of the Falcons, though, here, guys, talking about this backfield here, you know, where are we at with Devontae Freeman?
I'm not even looking at this backfield right now and expecting to provide any meaningful analysis. They will add a running back. This is not a question in my mind. Guys, this is why a month ago when they released Steven Jackson and it was almost certain Jacquizz Rodgers wasn't coming back, which he isn't, that's why I said, you know what, sell him in Dynasty because this is the highest possible value Devontae Freeman's going to have. Because
he's
look,
the man now.
They did not have a running game last year. They didn't. Jacquizz Rodgers has been terrible production wise in his career. He's a good receiver and he's an excellent blocker.
Right,
he can't run
the
ball. Steven Jackson was completely gassed. He's dealt with injuries the last couple years. And Freeman still couldn't get on the field. I think the only time he had 10 or more touches was in like week 3. So they didn't trust him. Now it's a new staff who didn't draft him. By the way, 4th round pick. So it's not like there's a huge investment in here. I liked Freeman coming out last year, but if you still have an opportunity to sell him for a guy, especially at the receiver position, who might contribute to your dynasty team, you think could be a consistent part of your future, I would trade him in an instant because I think they are a major candidate to add a running back in the first two rounds of the draft.
Yeah, I see them using a second round pick on a running back, and this would be the spot if Melvin Gordon would fall. I mean, he would look great in the zone system. Kyle Shanahan, you know, he'd be looking for a guy like that. He'd be real interesting there. But yeah, Devonta Freeman, right as of right now, I don't want him. But hey,
maybe they don't.
Maybe they feel they have so many other holes. That
that's
they go address them.
You mentioned second round pick. Is that a big enough hole, or do they go, okay, we have Freeman. We need to add somebody we can pair with Freeman, not necessarily to be the guy
you
in front
what?
Of him.
That's interesting. If they were to say, you know, we have our secondary, we have our quarterback, we got our receiver. Not a great roster, but that's something you can build around. And I would agree with that, that they have pieces you can build around. We've got to fill in the other hole.
Yeah, I still feel like edge pass rusher and offensive line is still bigger needs than running back.
Here's a question. Yep. And this is theoretical, and I know we typically get into the draft needs a little bit later, but I think they're so important for this roster because it's such a thin roster.
Well, we know what they have on top, yeah.
Are the Falcons a candidate that might trade down in the first round?
They'd love to, because they only have 6 picks. They'd love to add more picks.
If somebody, say Mariota falls, they could be a team, I think, that people would target to trade up with, and the Falcons could say, all right, maybe we trade up from, I'm just picking a number out here. So we'll trade down to 16. We'll pick up 2 extra picks. At 16, we'll take Todd Gurley.
Right. We don't have to be that high.
But we don't mind doing that because we've now picked up extra picks to fill some holes. So they're a really interesting draft team. A Gurley has been a sexy name in mocks.
Yeah, because he's Georgia.
He's Georgia, and they have a need. I tend to think they're a team that has a lot bigger needs, as you alluded to. But they need picks, and maybe if they recoup some of those picks by trading down, they could still get Gurley or Gordon or somebody like that, and still pick up those extra picks to fill some holes.
Arthur Blank typically stays out of the football stuff. He kind of lets his guys do his thing. And now, as we've talked about, Dimitrov's on the hot seat. You know, is his the guy who replaced him right there waiting in Scott Pioli. So for Dimitrov, does he feel like he has to make that big move, that big splash that the fans talk about, that they could see an immediate return on their investment? Or do they actually build something with this roster?
I was going to say, based on their moves this offseason, I don't think they'll let him go make a splashy move.
Right.
They played it very low-key. No big names this offseason.
Their big free agent signing was Brooks Reed,
who's
a good player by all means, but, I mean, that's not going to sell jerseys or put fans in the seats.
He could have the boring kind of draft that they need to have, and if they don't have success, he could be gone after what might actually be a pretty good offseason for what they need to do. So that's why I'm wondering, does he go, well, I got to make something happen. I got to show him I drafted Gurley.
That goes back to all the power talk. Does he have that say anymore in this organization?
Well, what kind of say does Dan, Quinn have and Shanahan have? Or what are they getting involved in? No, we don't need Gurley.
Yeah, Quinn, comes from the Seattle background. He comes from building within.
They need to do. Yes. I mean, the Falcons clearly need, they've been a top-heavy roster, but the top-heavy guys are now, it's Ryan and it's Roddy. And even Roddy's the kind of, how much does he have left to be a top guy?
That's why we haven't mentioned him until now. Because, look, the guy's been in the league for 10 years and he's still productive. And I still expect Roddy White to be productive. And we'll get to his value in terms of fantasy. But
he's had these leg issues the last couple years.
He's older.
Is he a guy you can count on for 16 games anymore?
Not at all.
And those type of guys at receiver, I mean, those guys can really kill you. If he has an ankle or a hamstring and he doesn't have a catch in a game,
they're a team that needs a wide receiver. By all means, they need a receiver.
Harry Douglas gone, not a big loss for them, but he was kind of a super sub, always did a nice job when they needed it. He was kind of a security blanket. If you needed him to play on the outside when somebody went hurt.
Look at their offseason moves. They added at tight end. Are they going to go more two wide receiver sets? Are they going to spread it out as much?
The problem with them is we look at Julio Jones, who is one of the three best assets on this team. Ryan, Julio Jones, and Desmond Trufant are the three top assets on this team. But you look at the roster and say, they still need a receiver.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, though, with Shanahan coming in, Quinn coming in, are they going to be running the ball more? Are they going to be playing more two tight end sets?
They could.
I mean, do they really need that third receiver?
They still need a tight end.
They've added
Tammy and Moyaki, who are guys.
But Toy Lolo there, I mean, they have three tight ends. They're going to be playing more two tight end sets based on their offseason moves here.
You know what it's coming down to? This team has a lot of needs, and they don't have the picks to fill it. They have not done a good enough job.
I think that maybe they won't trade down in the first round, but this could be one of those teams. Those early mid-round trade-up and trade-downs, they happen. How many trades happen in the second round? 5 or 6? They're going to be a team that could potentially trade down in the second round.
Tom mentioning 6 picks. That's not enough. The problem with this team, and we've talked about it now for 2 or 3 years, is that they don't have depth. They're top heavy.
And guess what? The problem is where Matt Ryan is. He's in his 8th year in the league? He absolutely needs... they're in win-now mode.
Yes. They need O-line help, but as you said, they haven't had that ground game. How much does Roddy have left? Now, he did finish the season better than he started it. Let's note that all of Roddy's three games below 10 fantasy points came in the first five appearances of the season. 89-21, seven touchdowns on 120 targets, 11.5 yards per catch, not a great number, 15.3 fantasy points per game. Number 17 wide receiver, pretty good, pretty solid, but ankle, hamstring issues, you know, and he tries to play through it. He'll tell
it's
you if I don't practice.
It's the second consecutive year that we've had these issues.
And he says, you know, if I don't practice, you know, sit me for fantasy. He's been pretty honest about that. More of a PPR guy, as we know, 100 yards just twice all season. Five catches or more in 10 games. I mean, he's a PPR guy. Now, you think of him for this team as an outside receiver, but according to Pro Football Focus, ran about a quarter of his routes from the slot. And he's done that before, and you tend to see these older receivers move inside a little bit more because they are strong route runners. They can get open, and maybe it gives them more winnable matchups against slot corners and things like that. And he's obviously got the size to do so, but depth is an issue. You're losing Douglas here, and let's be honest, not only White, but Julio's had issues staying on the field as well. So, yeah, receiver is a need in terms of depth for them, but I don't know if it's something they can really afford to address with
high
one of their high picks. So a need there, not a major one. Hester did a nice job for them last year. We mentioned that adding Jacob Tammy, also added Tony Moyaki. Levine Toilolo gave them nothing as a receiver.
He's a sixth lineman.
I just wonder, are they trying to get more to the tight end position from a pass-catching standpoint with those additions?
Here's the interesting thing. You mentioned Dan Quinn comes from Seattle, and They've had interesting athletic tight ends. Now, of course, Quinn leaves and they get the interesting athletic tight end in Jimmy Graham. So I wonder if that's a philosophy he's going to follow. Kyle Shanahan, though, is the guy here. And Shanahan's had an interesting history with the tight end position, I would say. You know, he's been in Houston where they had Owen Daniels. He's been in Washington with Jordan Reed. And then, obviously, Jordan Cameron in Cleveland, but
nobody's really done much.
Really work out. So I still think the tight end could be a really important part of this offense, and that's why they've been mentioned as a Max Williams spot.
I don't see that, though.
But it's still a...
But once again, getting back to can they afford that when you just signed two tight ends and added Toilolo? And you had Toilolo. I'm not saying any of those guys should keep you from making a big move, but when you have other needs and you sign two tight ends, I don't see them going after a Max Williams just because I don't think they're in a position to have that. I think it's almost a luxury to them at this point to be able to go, oh, well, we can go get tight end because we have other needs. We don't have as many other needs. They have too many other needs to go look at a guy like that who's going to go early.
That's why I don't expect them to draft a tight end.
Their holes on the offensive line and edge rusher are so glaring right now. I mean, that's where they got exposed all last season. I mean, they've been looking for an edge rusher here since, you know, John Abraham started to decline there. And they haven't been relevant since John Abraham started to really decline on defense.
They went out and signed Adrian Claiborne, but... Yeah. I mean, that's interesting flyer, get me wrong.
Take a flyer on that.
But you're right. Remember, a couple years ago, they switched to the 3-4. Remember, they were kind of floating in between with Mike Nolan. So then they rebuilt their defense to fit the 3-4 personnel. And they went out and they signed Tyson Jackson. They drafted Rashid Hageman, who I think can still play in a 4-3 because I think his skill set suggests he could play 3-tech. But he was really up and down last year. You remember on Hard Knocks, he was consistently getting his ass chewed out. So now when you go from 4-3-ish to 3-4 back to 4-3 in the span of like 3 or 4 years, your front seven is going to be a mess.
Yeah.
And their front seven is a mess.
What I think is also here with Dimitroff maybe looking at this team and going, okay, is this my chance? Do you look at this division if you're the Falcons and go, are we that far away? It doesn't mean that much in terms of winning the division with how it went last year with the Panthers, surviving pretty much. Tampa still trying to figure things out. They're likely taking Winston number one. And you know, the Saints are kind of retooling with their offense. I wouldn't call it necessarily a full rebuild, but do the Falcons look, does Dimitroff look and go, well, if I make a couple of big moves here and there, maybe we can win 9 games and still win this division?
They could win 9 games simply because of Ryan and Julio, but they're not going anywhere in the playoffs. Now, I think Dan Quinn, I think this job interested him because of Desmond Trufant, because you got Robert Alford. Desmond Southward's an interesting young safety. And I think he believes in the concept, like with Seattle, of if you've got the guys on the back end, everything else is going to fall into place. The thing is, he just does not have the depth defensively.
And yeah, or the rushers that he had in Seattle.
Here's the thing with the Atlanta Falcons, is the roster is so bad, the only position that would shock me if they took him in the first round is a quarterback. That's it. Mariota would be the only guy who would shock me for them. They could take a lineman. They could take a receiver if Cooper or White falls. I would not be shocked there. They could take a running back if they trade back and take Gurley. They could take an edge rusher. They could even take somebody in the secondary, although I think they would pass on that.
Yeah.
But everything on this roster is a need, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And that's why they're kind of a question mark now for fantasy. You still feel very good about Ryan.
And
still
Julio.
Feel great about Julio. I think Roddy drops into more of a number three range to me.
I don't have to take him high. Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily want to spend even a fifth or sixth pick on him. Just because of those injuries. I mean, he's a guy that he could potentially kill you in a big game if he gets, you know, a hamstring or an ankle issue at some point later in the season.
Let's close up here with some MFL 10 data on some of these guys. And let's start with Matt Ryan. Last year, I mean, I was a couple years ago a pretty strong critic of Matt Ryan. And I will say this. I think we've seen his best. His breast is pretty solid. I don't think he's ever getting into that Rodgers, that tier, Rodgers and Luck and those guys. But I think
he's right next there.
He'll be a really good quarterback for 10, 12 years here. Number 7 last year. Probably right around where you think he's going to be. Where is he going right now in MFL 10s?
He's, on average, the 7th quarterback off the board.
There you go.
85.38, which makes him just about a 7th, 8th round pick.
That's a nice spot for him.
Totally fair.
Now, does he have upside anymore, though? Going from that Dirk Cutter's offense to Shanahan.
I think it's more of a you know what you're getting type of deal.
But is there some downside to them?
Let me bring this up.
They do change what they look like.
I know
what
you're
offense.
Getting at. 628 passes last season is a very high number.
And even if that drops to like 575, 550, is he nearly as valuable as he once was in the past?
Look, the guy completes a lot of his passes. 66.1 last year, threw for nearly 4,700 yards. I think that number drops. The touchdowns, he had 28-14. He usually protects the football pretty well. Had 145 rushing yards last season. Do you wonder if, you know, I think part of this is, and it's helped, their defense stinks.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to get much better. So I think you throw that into the equation and go, well, he'll be on the field a lot. As a number 7 guy, I think where he's going is pretty fair. Now, let's talk about Julio Jones. As we said, was unbelievable when he was on the field. 104 catches last season. One of only 4 receivers to hit that number, hit the 100 mark. Nearly had 1,600 yards and 15.3 yards per catch. 6 touchdowns. That's a low number there. But as I always talk about this, when a guy is finishing high with a low touchdown number, there's a little bit of leeway there. 163 targets, 20 fantasy points per game on the number for Julio. Remember, he missed that game late in week 15.
Yeah, but that was after the absolute monster game against the Packers.
And the week before that, he had 10 for 189 against Arizona and then 11 for 259 against Green Bay. I think it was a hip injury that he had.
Yeah, he actually hurt himself late in that game against Green Bay.
Yeah, it took a big hit. And that, you know, it was kind of a fluky injury where some of his have been, you know, concerning because their foot and other issues like that.
7 100-yard games, dipped below 10 fantasy points just twice all year, including week 17. So Julio, I mean, when he's out there, he's a guy that can win you a week.
I think he's going to put the sour taste in people's mouth just because of when he missed that game, but it's not his fault, obviously. And it wasn't the foot issue.
And he came off of 2 monster games.
He is coming off the board as the 4th wide receiver. Average pick about 10. In an MFL 10, and MFL 10s, you get those big games, and he has a lot of them.
I could see him getting a little bit more of a boost in this format.
I just took him in the first round of an MFL 10. I didn't think about the pick too much. I was interested to see where I could have gone otherwise, but I'm all in all pretty happy with the pick overall. I took him at 9, I think. He's average pick 10, late first. He's sneaking into the top 2nd sometimes, depending on what's your preference. There's going to be MFL 10s where Demaryius Thomas is going to go before him. Big Calvin's going to go before him. Jordy's going to go before him.
All 4 of those guys are, though. They're big play. They're going to have those big games where they have, you know, weeks where they go off for 20 fantasy points.
Julio going a little higher in these formats than your regular.
Yeah, because he's more important to his team than some of those.
And he has the monster games.
And they're
the big flashy games.
Important, of course.
Roddy going here? after Roddy, being 17 last year in fantasy points per game in PPR.
Here's the reason why I ain't writing off having Roddy on my fantasy teams. Average pick of 74.1, which makes him a 7th-round pick.
Okay. Yeah, I said I wanted to pick him the 5th to 6th, but
and he's
7th is a lot more reasonable.
32nd receiver on average off the board. Okay, so here he's going after Michael Floyd, who had a terrible year last year. We loved him. He got off to the hot start in week one and just had a terrible year, whether it was the offense, the fact that Palmer got hurt, all those things. Fact of the matter is Michael Floyd was terrible last year. He's going after Torrey Smith. I would take Roddy over Torrey Smith.
Yes, in PPR, absolutely.
He's going after Eric Decker. I think that's fair. I think Decker had a really good year last year with bad quarterback play. That's very fair in my opinion. Here's the interesting one. The receiver going right ahead of Roddy White, and this is the guy we like, but still, is Allen Robinson.
Wow.
Going ahead of Roddy White on average. So Roddy's the 32nd receiver, which makes him a low number 3. I'll take that shot on Roddy White all day.
Yeah, especially if they don't address receiver early in the draft, which I don't think they will because of what we said.
I would think
so many holes.
Because Roddy doesn't give you the big games anymore, the big flashy games, I could see why he's going a little bit lower. Maybe he does get into the 6th round a little bit more in your regular redraft leagues. I took him and happily took him last year because he finished the season before strong after the injuries. And yeah, it wasn't great last year, but hey, if he was the number 17 wide receiver, if you took him in the 5th round, you were happy with that. So, I mean, where he's going there in the 7th, I'm kind of surprised he's going that low.
And here's an interesting one. I want to throw this out to you guys. Back-to-back in MFL 10s as we sit today. 32 at receiver, Roddy White. And I want to know if you'd rather have him or this guy. 33 at receiver is Andre Johnson.
I would take Andre Johnson.
Yeah. I would take Andre as well.
Yes.
I think it is a question. And I think there is some value to be had there with Roddy White. And especially once I think Cooper and Kevin White land somewhere, those guys are going to leap them in ADP. Cooper already is ahead of them. Kevin White is not currently. I think there's going to be maybe even a little bit additional value to be had there. So Roddy White's going to be an interesting guy to monitor throughout the offseason.
Real quick here before we wrap it up, where's Devontae Freeman going as it stands now? We know this will change.
I think, Matt, it's going to change either for the good or the bad.
Right.
I think it'll tank if they take an early round running back. And if they don't, I think it's going to skyrocket, which in what case he might be unappealing anyway, because we don't know what the guy can do. Currently at the running back position, 73.5 average pick, which makes him a 6th-7th round pick. He's going in the same spot essentially as Roddy White. He's the 28th running back off the board.
I mean, as it stands now, that's not terrible, but he's just a guy. If I could avoid taking him in a fantasy league at this point without knowing what's going on in the draft, I would. I mean,
still on average, although I think this is going to change very soon because a lot of this was free agency data. Still on average going ahead of Frank Gore, and I'd take Frank Gore 10
absolutely.
Out of 10 if I'm trying to win this year.
I see what they're going with there. You know, always we've got some more upside, maybe younger player, but he's more of a question mark than I think Frank Gore is in terms of what he's going to be.
If it sounds like I'm flip-flopping, it's because it is. I loved Devontae Freeman last year, but I have to reevaluate the facts. He couldn't get on the field last year.
Couldn't get on the field, and maybe that's the coaching staff. And there's a reason they're gone, but also, as we said, it's a new staff here, and sure, it's a Dimitroff pick, but Kyle Shanahan go, I'd like somebody else. I'd like my guy in here. I don't know if he fits my offense. Now, we've heard the thought that maybe he does fit this offense, but Shanahan's made adjustments here and may want to bring his own guy. And when you look at the roster, it's really Anton Smith and Freeman here. They got to add somebody else. It's going to depend where that happens. And I think that could kind of really kind of set the tone for us in the first couple of rounds of what the Falcons are doing. You know, if they avoid it in the first round on a Thursday and we get into Friday in the 2nd round, they don't take a running back again, then Freeman starts to move up a little in the world. But if we see somebody go off the board, that's a more of a bigger name guy that could potentially lead the way with, you know, ahead of Freeman, then he's going to dip. And then, as you said, this might be the best time to sell him is right now.
Yeah, and like we said, he could actually have value, though, if they end up taking a first
round
pick.
Yeah, if it's more of a complimentary player,
sure. And then he's the 50th running back taken off the board, then all of a sudden maybe he does have some value.
He'll be the one that sees his value change the most after the draft. So there you go, our look at the Atlanta Falcons. And once again, if you want to respond to this or have questions for future podcasts, use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at TheMattCamp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley. And one more reminder about FanDuel. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1. You can play for real money with immediate cash payouts. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. And as we've talked about, Tom, if you get off to a slow start in your season-long leagues and you're depressed, maybe the team you root for in reality isn't doing well, you can find some fun in baseball with FanDuel.
NL Roto team, I'm waiting for Yasiel Puig and Ryan Braun and Justin Morneau to start hitting the ball, and they just haven't. But if I, you know, go to FanDuel, I can go get that hot guy that, you know, his value hasn't changed much through the first 2 weeks.
You can take advantage of that. Joe Watts from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here is the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. One more reminder also that at the end of April, our early bird discount will be over. So you'll have a little time left here to get in at the cheaper price of $24.95. That's $5 off our regular price. And yes, you're going to be gearing up for August and September and the season, but we have plenty of stuff up on the site, including these podcasts, the pre-rookie report, the pre-draft rookie report that Joe and Tom put together, the pre-draft rookie report podcast, John Hanson, Greg Cosell. They also did a post-free agency podcast, statistical analysis articles from Mike Horn looking at the new coaches in the new offenses, breaking it down by position. There's a lot of great stuff, and they were working on our player profiles as well, so a lot more coming your way, plus stuff that we're not even ready to announce yet coming your way at FantasyGuru.com. That'll do it for this edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for being with us here at FantasyGuru.com.